Welcome to Marvel Champions Monthly, a fan podcast about the card game Marvel Champions. I'm one of your hosts, Kennedy Huck. Today I have with me two more hosts. I have Americano. How's it going, Americano?
It is going. How are you doing?
I'm doing very tiny and very giant, I think.
Yes.
And we have Crimson, who is now active on Twitch again. How's it going, Crimson?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing pretty good.
What is your Twitch name? Because sometimes you stream Marvel Champions on there, right?
Sometimes. It's mainly been like a Subnautica, man. Digging that. It's a Crimson MCM.
Ah, easy. Easy to remember.
Yep, pretty easy to remember.
Well, this is our second episode celebrating a year-long life of Marvel Champions. Can you believe it's been a whole year since this game has been out?
Yeah.
You feel it?
You definitely feel it, yeah.
It's been a long year, huh?
It's been a real long year. It kind of feels like a lifetime. I don't know.
Yeah, the longest year of my life.
Not because of the podcast, but because of everything else that happened in 2020, probably.
Yeah, well, everything from the Amazon burning to everything else.
Yes. We have a pretty cool topic today. So one of our listeners, Mr. L, said that a lot of people review Marvel Champions by comparing it to other products, but not a lot of people talk about how the game has grown and like things that the game could improve on and things that it couldn't improve on without comparing it to something else. So he asked us if we could give an overview of Marvel Champions for the year and how we think it's improved and areas we think it could improve even more that we're excited for in the future. So I've drafted up a couple questions and sent them to you guys ahead of time. So we'll go through those questions and talk about the first year of Marvel Champions. So
Let's do it.
Yeah. So we have had a core set. We've had 7 hero packs, 3 villain packs, and a campaign box as of this recording. So it's technically like 12 months and a week and a half or something like that. But we have gotten 12 releases in that period of time. So that's pretty cool. There's been some droughts in there and there's been some floods, but that's okay. But we've gotten 12 releases in 12 months. So A plus on that, I would say. But we're going to find out how we all feel about the state of the game. But the first thing I wanted to do was do elevator pitches. I don't know if you guys have to do these at work. I do, and they're horrible. So an elevator pitch is you're some fancy pants guy and you work in a skyscraper downtown and you accidentally walk into an elevator with the CEO and you have that elevator ride to explain to that CEO your idea about something. But instead what it is you have 60 seconds in an elevator ride with some random gamer and you need to explain to them what Marvel Champions is and what makes it great in 60 seconds or less. So I want you to give me an elevator pitch on Marvel Champions, starting with Americano.
Do we open the elevator doors?
Yeah, do the Jedi mind trick thing. I always do.
Insert audio clip there. Yeah. Okay. Marvel Champions is a cooperative, easy to play card game where you get to be your favorite Marvel hero. Maybe you get to be your favorite Marvel hero, but they don't have Daredevil yet, so I'm still waiting for that. You work together to fight against a big bad guy, and it feels like each game is its own sort of comic book. So you feel like you're actually immersed in a comic book. That's it right there. And then I invite them over to my house to play.
Cool.
But we'll play across the table, so
safely. Got it.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Crimson, let's get hear your 60-second elevator pitch.
Oh, you should play Marvel Champions. It's an Avengers-based comic book co-op card game where you play as an Avenger-based character against some Avenger-based villains, and you can play it solo or with a group of friends. It's pretty fun either which way. And you can customize a portion of your deck while still having the theme of your Avenger-based character.
This is great. Oh, man.
That's my pitch. If you like Avengers, you'll like this game.
Okay.
Very good. That's great.
Well,
I think you guys nailed it. I'm done. So here's what I would say. So I would say Marvel Champions is a cooperative card game that is not collectible, even though you're probably going to collect a lot of things while playing it. You get to play as a hero from the Marvel Universe fighting against a villain cooperatively in a comic book-like scenario. You'll get to specialize your hero. So you pick a hero. About half your deck is made ahead of time, and then you smash a bunch of other cards in to give that hero a little bit of flavor. So every hero could feel like they're touching every different area of the game. And you have to work as a team in order to defeat this villain. I didn't even have to mention the word Avengers. So I'm sure Crimson will tell us what that means in a little bit. So now let's talk about the year in review. So first question is, what are the highlights of this year? What has FFG done really well with Marvel Champions? Obviously putting out Avengers characters, something they did really well.
I mean, they know the market, obviously. And, you know, X-Men isn't a multi-billion dollar franchise, so we don't need that. Just Avengers works.
I would say they've done pretty good at getting releases out. There have been droughts, right? Like, we had a drought near the beginning. Right after the three packs came out, we had to wait a while for Wrecking Crew, and there was a drought because of COVID, but those mostly were things out of their control, it seems. Ultimately, at the end of the year, in 12 months, we got 12 releases. So I'm pretty happy with that for something that says it's going to put out a new product once a month. On average, we got about once a month. So I think that's really awesome.
I've been very happy with the quality of the cards, quality of when the cards are released, how, you know, the balancing of the game itself. I know we've had some issues with Captain America and Doctor Strange being a little overbalanced and Thor being a little underbalanced, but I think it's good to have strong characters and weaker characters.
Yep, and I think they've done a good job selling, like, where what place this game has in the market. They don't want this to be the hard game that crushes you like Arkham and Lord of the Rings, where you lose the scenario six times before you figure out what deck to play. They want you to be able to win on Standard with the pre-constructed decks, and I think they want you to be able to win on Expert if you make a custom deck. And I think they do very well at that. I think you can have a very good win rate with any hero, which is good because every hero is someone's favorite, so I really like that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think they squeaked in just barely on the year enough scenarios to feel like you're not having to replay everything over and over. Like that was a point previously where you just felt like you were replaying the same ones, but because they got the campaign box and, yep, and King before the end of the first year, I think they nailed it. That, like, the amount of scenarios we have right now is, in my opinion, sufficient for even somebody that plays the game a lot to not feel burned out on any specific villain.
Yeah, it's almost one-to-one, right? So that's pretty cool, right? Yeah. So we've got, what, four hero packs and Kang before the Guardians box. And then the Guardians box has five scenarios and two heroes. So you end up with 6 and 6 or something like that. So that's pretty well balanced.
I would say if COVID hadn't been a thing, and if they're, you know, early, I mean, again, early distribution, that takes time to work out anyways. If those two droughts hadn't happened, I think their schedule, what they planned to put out, was spot on.
I think so too. I think
except it was only Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, this is an Avengers.
This Marvel is a champion and not an Avenger. I would like to point that out.
Okay. Everyone but Ms. Marvel.
Gotta sell what's good. I'm just saying, nobody wants underpants Cyclops running through their cards. They want Ant-Man, obviously.
Not more Mr. Shink.
I think you mentioned the campaign box, Americana. I think the campaign box was just like a slam dunk. It was like exactly what this game needed to be in, like, the best position it could be in. I've not been able to sell a lot of people on the campaign box because of COVID and no stores being open. But I know that the campaign box, like, gave the community what it needed. Five more villains and the two heroes, but mainly the five villains and the modular sets just, like, breathed a whole new life into this game, for me at least. Even some of the villains that people consider duds from that box, I'm enjoying playing them just because there's so much variety now.
Yeah.
You can play a different villain every night of the week. That's great. I'm very pleased with the way the campaign box worked. And I don't think it got a lot of flack right away because people were expecting it to be more like an Arkham box where you had like experience and all sorts of crazy things.
I think you'll probably see that coming soon.
We might, but I mean, I think the level of the box we got is just perfect for like the target audience they're targeting. Like, I don't need a box that has a lot of depth. I got a decision after every scenario, or like something in the scenario affected my deck for the rest of the game or the rest of the campaign. And that was enough to get me to keep playing and want to come back for the next scenario, which is just perfect. I don't want to have to spend like one of my game nights just reconstructing my deck because I had to make so many decisions after the scenario. I think to be like the light casual tabletop game they want, the scenario box was pretty perfect. How do you guys feel about the aspects? Have the aspects balanced themselves well? I know when the core set came out, some aspects were seen as better than others. That's probably still slightly the case. But do you feel like all four aspects are gaining things, or are any of them losing ground to the others?
No, I actually really, I'm really happy with the aspects. I think the problem with leadership being the strongest was because it just had the most amount of allies, and allies are just a key card type that is so very good in this format of game. But as we've gotten more and more cards and in the other aspects, we've gotten more and more allies, and they're starting to approach that early leadership amount of allies, which has really helped the other aspects flesh themselves out, yet still have a very key card type in their arsenal.
I still think Justice is lagging behind.
You're nuts.
No, I mean, with the types of cards it has, it's just, I mean, there's fewer of them. I don't know.
It's the only character to not have like two full packs, right? Aggression had two full packs and half of Spider-Woman. Protection had two full ones. Leadership had two full ones. Three now with Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. And Justice has had Black Widow and half of Spider-Woman. But I think Justice was, I mean, everybody said leadership was the strongest, but Justice was right up there with being able to maintain the game when the core set came out. It had some of the strongest core set cards. So I think that even though it's lagging behind, it's still a very strong aspect. It's a go-to for a lot of people, I feel. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things about Justice is it is not about doing damage. The Justice aspect is about maintaining control or time of the game and allowing the hero's specific cards to do the damage.
So do you think each aspect has like a succinct role, or do the aspects have more than one deck type now that they can play multiple roles? Like, does the protection player always need to be defending for everyone, or do they have other spots within the meta now?
Oh, I definitely think that protection has two key roles it can play. It can play the defend for everyone, or it can play the healing role.
Nice. What are the key cards for the healing role? I haven't tried that before, other than Med Team.
Med Team, Second Wind, Energy Barrier helps you, prevent you from taking damage, which means you can heal your teammates.
Cool.
There's a couple of them. So with like the healing role, you're going to use your healing cards on your teammates and then your damage mitigations on yourself. So like your defensive stance, your shift, where you move two damage off of you onto the other person, Night Nurse, Energy Barrier, Med Team, or Med Team you would use on your teammate, Energy Barrier you use on yourself.
Totally. I think all the aspects have kind of a double role. Like, Leadership's got three decks that I've seen that I've played a lot of. There's the Spam Allies and use them as Chump Blockers deck. I think there's like the start and maybe even the complete version of a deck where you just buff other players using morale boost and lead from the front. And I think there's a deck that is all about building like Voltron allies, especially now that we got all those upgrades in Ant-Man's pack. So there's three distinct types there, which is pretty cool.
I've seen it too with yours, where especially because Leadership has a lot of Avengers allies. What's the card that lets you draw?
Oh, Strength in Numbers. Yeah.
Strength in Numbers. Yeah. So I think that like that's a key card that even has another type of leadership. So I obviously that's why I think leadership is the strongest aspect, because there's so many. That's four different types of builds almost. for leadership that you can do regardless of this, of the hero you are, right? So that extra layer of what's the word I'm looking for?
Personality.
Like, personality to your deck is something that Marvel Champions at, like, that's so awesome. And I'm okay with leadership having four different types because it just means that now my leadership deck looks different than Crimson's and looks different than Kennedy's, right? So it different styles, even though each deck has a different style or may have a different style, even though you're playing the same aspect.
And I think that's part of the strength of leadership is the versatility, the ability to go in different directions versus something like Justice, which, you know, most Justice decks are going to be, you know, remove as much threat as possible. You can go a little bit more like...
They have some... there's some damage-dealing cards in Justice, but that's not where it shines, right?
Right. Beat Cop and a couple other things can do some damage. You also have this kind of a side scheme nuke playstyle that's starting to emerge, where it's all about just nuking out side schemes as fast as possible, so that way you don't have to deal with them.
Cool. And I think Aggression's got it too, right? Aggression has like the anti-minion route, but it also has the I'm going to do all my damage to the villain as fast as I can do it route. So there's multiple paths for every aspect, which is really cool. I think for the most part, we're still on the things that FFG has done well. I think they've really done good with the hero signature sets of making those heroes feel like the character. Whether it be thematically or mechanically, I feel like, I mean, there's 13 heroes now or something like that, and I think all of them have been pretty spot on. Like, there's a few minor discrepancies I might have, but I'd have to be pretty nitpicky.
Have you guys played a bunch of Ant-Man yet?
I've played a lot of Ant-Man, and it's wonderful.
Ant-Man, that's pretty thematic. I think he's a pretty awesome...
How do you feel about the folding card?
The what? The folding card? At first I was like, oh, what a gimmick. And then I'm like, you know what? It's freaking awesome. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. It's so cool to be in giant form because your attack's what, 3, right? Plus your, when you flip, you just, boom, you throw that big card down and you're like, boom, that's 1 damage just by flipping to the giant form. And then you feel like you're unstoppable almost. You aren't. There's still weaknesses, but you just feel giant, right? Some of those events that he has that you have to do. Anyway, I know this isn't an Ant-Man episode, but that has we're talking about things they did right. I think Ant-Man they did right. It's very thematic.
Yeah, the other heroes that I thought were really thematic, I think Black Widow is like probably one of the best like mini pack expansions you can get for this game. I feel like it's a perfect Black Widow deck, even if it's pre-constructed. I think she's a strong hero that definitely feels like Black Widow. Like, you have this encouragement to go to Alter Ego and do a little spying. Like, I think it's a very thematic, nice way to prepare a Black Widow deck, and I appreciate that.
What is there any specific hero kit that you feel like has been you've had an enjoyable time enjoyed the theme of it?
Hulk, definitely. I've really enjoyed Hulk, and obviously She-Hulk has always been one of my favorites. I do like Black Widow. I find I like complicated, and Black Widow's complicated. Black Widow makes you think out your entire turn as much as possible, and I prefer heroes like that, where you spend, you know, a good portion of your teammate's turn thinking about your next turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's crazy because it's crazy because I mean, I actually really enjoy playing Hulk, and Hulk's like probably the most straightforward hero in the game.
Yes,
I love Black Widow, and she might be maybe probably the most intricate or complex hero with the cards that she has in the game because they're going on. It's just not just on your turn; it's during the villain phase as well. So,
I also like her recursion's ability because I like being able to play with my discard. and getting cards back like that. And she just being able to get back your preparations and knowing what you're going to get back is really good.
So I guess, yeah, I guess what my point is that there's something, there is likely a hero out there that someone will enjoy playing if they play games. Even if you're not a fan necessarily of that hero in the universe, like Hawkeye, for example. I'm just kidding. I think you can still have a lot of fun playing that hero, even if it's just mechanically, for example. Anyway.
Make a hero that you aren't a fan of in the comic book, and you're like, wow, this feels really good.
And I will say, even though we've stressed that it's mainly been Avengers heroes, they have snuck in a lot of sub-themes with the allies we've gotten, right? We've gotten a couple champions. We've gotten several defenders. We've gotten some heroes for hire.
More heroes for hire. That's what I want. That's all I want.
That'd be cool, right? We'd be down. So they've snuck in some non-Avengers-y characters into the game as well. And we've seen from the previews with Quicksilver that some non-Avengers universe characters, maybe some X-universe characters, will be sneaking into the game. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's just mutants. Obviously took time for them.
You can't say that word on here.
Okay.
Robot Fox. We're good.
Just
they own it all.
All right, let's move on to the next topic or next chunk of Mr. L's prompt here. So what have the low points been in Marvel Champions in the last year? What areas are there for improvement in the game? And which ones do you think require the most attention the quickest, I guess?
All right. You got something, Crimson?
Fantastic Four and X-Men are the most... Yeah, okay. They need a little bit of that. And
so I guess you could summarize that as a little bit more variety then, right? Like they have this Avengers archetype, but it would be nice to have had something else too, and then pepper Avengers throughout, continue on later on, right? Continue maybe a year. Yeah. We get another hero. I mean, maybe. Yeah, I can see that.
Well, if you look at some of their other co-ops, right, with Lord of the Rings in that first cycle, they had a lot of Eagles stuff to build this Eagles tribal deck. And they had a cycle that had a lot of Dwarven stuff. And some of the more recent cycles, I'm not a Lord of the Rings expert, so take this with my imaginary grain of salt. But they had a whole cycle that was focused on fleshing out old archetypes. So that might be something that happens. It looks like we're going to ditch Avengers for Guardians of the Galaxy with the next campaign box. We might focus on cosmic space stuff for a while, but we still might get some random Avengers cards peppered in. And I think those out of aspect cards are the perfect cards to pepper old deck types with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we will also see more complexity in some characters. I think now that they've got a good base set of characters out, that they will look at doing something more fantastical. And no, that's not a dig at Fantastic Four. But I definitely see them going more the Black Widow route, where it's a little bit more complicated and testing those waters with some hero packs, not obviously a big box or anything like that. But, a one-off hero here and there may be a little complicated. Like a Scarlet Witch.
Totally could see that. Totally could see that.
Okay. I'm okay with more complexity, but I do have a couple low. I have two main gripes with the game.
Go with it. This is constructive. He does say be constructive. So.
Yeah. I think
you out if I need to.
I think that there's. The first one is the most glaring, and I think it's a pretty simple fix, but there's just a ton of typos and inconsistencies in cards and I don't know how Fantasy Flight does it. I don't know how the timeline that they're under. I'm not a game designer. I'm not a game publisher. I don't deal with these IPs, but it's really a bummer when you come across a card and you're like, oh, this card's awesome. And then you read it and you're like, what is this? Right? Like, misspelling words and things. And I get it. I get that mistakes happen. It's just, I actually love this game. And so it's kind of a bummer to see those mistakes happen. And it's not just like everyone, it happens more than I would think to expect, I guess. So I think that can be fixed with just maybe a little bit more care and attention. And I've seen it pop up that these things, and I think a lot of people can overlook it. And I obviously can, cause I still enjoy playing the game. It's just kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah. And what's always scary is, and I'm guilty of this too, when something's worded slightly differently, I'm like, well, what was the designer's intent? Why did they word that differently? And I'm not sure that there was an intent in it being worded differently, right? I think they're just getting things out as fast as they can so that we can get things in our hands. But one recently, like in the original scenarios, it would always say like recommended set Bomb Scare, recommended set Masters of Evil. A couple of the Red Skull ones didn't say recommended.
Right.
And everybody freaked out and they were like, oh, maybe now you can't swap them in and out. What did the designers mean by this? And there was, I kid you not, if you go on Facebook, it's like a 70 comment thread of people guessing what happened.
Guys, everyone, listen, it's called a modular set. Like, it's meant to be swapped in and out.
I think that's the intent. I think so.
I think it was just missed. Like, recommended just wasn't put in.
And that was the other glaring typo in Red Skull that people noticed. I mean, there was the Hail Hydra got worded three different ways on three different cards, which is interesting. Yeah. But I think the Crossbones scenario, it has a different like required set in the rule book than it does on the back of the card. So people weren't sure, like, which one of these am I really supposed to use when I do the campaign? Yeah. That kind of stuff can be kind of a bummer. I agree. I think they'll get there. Is that common early in card games? I haven't played every card game ever since launch. Are there a lot of typos early in card games, Crimson?
Yeah, I mean, generally in the first couple sets there are.
Because they're still learning templating and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's usually a formatting template, you know, a curve.
When's the last RRG? When was the last one?
A while ago.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, we're due
okay.
We're waiting.
Yeah.
I think it was it before Red? I'll look it up. You guys talk.
I can't remember what my other one was now. I just went off on typos. Oh, I remember what it was. I'm actually a little disappointed at how I think it may be getting better because we talked about this a little bit earlier. There's different archetypes for it, but how strong the ally card type is that and they kind of seem to offset that by only allowing three allies in play at a time. But I don't know that they realized before the game was published how strong of a card type allies would be. And it's like, if you want to win, just play allies. Like, regardless of the aspect you're playing, you play allies and you're gonna win. And
play as many allies as possible.
Yeah, and that takes some of the fun. I mean, it's an easy default, right? Oh, I got this ally in my hand. I have these events and upgrades. I'm just gonna play the ally because that's the best route for me to win, right? And you have to be consciously thinking of, how you're playing and how you're building the deck if you want to not play it like that, if you want to not specifically do that. Like, I think an easy way would be Ms. Marvel. She really plays into events, so I would want to build an event heavy Ms. Marvel deck and not focus so much on allies, right? but that's not necessarily the strongest type.
Yeah, would it be as deck. Good as an ally deck with Ms. Marvel?
Exactly. And so, again, I'm not a designer, but that's just what I've noticed is that it's like, oh, if you want a strong deck, put 7 or 8 allies in there. It's like, well, I mean, that's fine, but I don't want to just have to default to 8 allies every time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that they have ways to fix that, right? Like, not a lot of people play that under attack modular set, but that attack, that set really hurts allies, because a lot of the boosts can damage all your allies. And if you've got three allies out there and they each take a damage, that's like a huge resource investment wasted. And then the Prince in Play set that we didn't even talk about, the boosts that can add overkill to your villain. A lot of people use allies as these chump blockers when they have one health left. Mm-hmm. Inserting more of that into future modular sets and villains will weaken allies while not weakening, you know, upgrade supports and events. So I think that would be a good way for them to push allies. I mean, the answer isn't print weaker allies, right? We don't want just a bunch of weak allies to include in our deck.
Because no one's going to use them. No.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Challenge allies. I think the answer is a few modular sets that you can throw in that offer overkill, thematic modular sets, maybe a villain here or there that focuses on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the limiting of three allies at a time was nice, but there's so many ways to cheat more allies in now. I mean, you can get to six allies now that we have Ant-Man's pack, which, I mean, that's double.
That's ridiculous. Like, anyway, I mean, yeah, I'm generally not building decks like that. Like, I think I have enjoyed playing some Voltron ally decks. That's like a growing thing, because Ant-Man's pack came with a few new ally upgrades, and that's been like, wow, that's a lot of fun. Maybe it's just because it's the newness. But also it's kind of fun to see an ally doing all the work for the most part when your hero is kind of like taking a back seat. That actually is pretty exciting for me. So again, allies are strong and I like that archetype. So maybe I'm seeming like a hypocrite, but they're like really too strong.
Yeah, my biggest complaints about the way allies work is they're so not thematic. Like, I imagine playing Captain America, and every time Ultron wants to attack me, I just, like, shove Hawkeye in front of the attack, and then I shove Stinger in front of the attack, and then I shove Maria Hill over there, because I don't want to get hit by anything. And I'm holding this shield with three defense, yet I'm shoving these allies in front of the attacks. It's everything else in the game, like, drips theme, and then there's that, like, mechanic that you have to, like, prevent yourself from doing it if you want to be thematic.
Right.
So the last RRG was March. So it's been a while. That was one of my things, is I think they've done good and bad on rulings. They've had rulings that they've switched, which has been kind of interesting for people, right? When you learn playing one way and then have to relearn playing another way, it can be difficult to break old habits. But I think that's just like natural growth of the game. I think for the most part, they've been really fast to answer rules questions, which is great, because like we just said, there hasn't been an RRG update since March. There's been, I mean, over half the content has come out since then. So there's tons of questions people have, and we're still getting answers to all of them, and they're being logged on like Hall of Heroes and Board Game Geek and some other places. So you can find those official rulings from the developer. But we've already seen where we got an official ruling and then something different went into the next RRG update. So all those things are a little bit subject to change. So it's kind of like doing really good. You're responding to people really fast. But things, and I understand this, things always have to change. So I think getting more frequent RRG updates out would be good. Or even if, like, I don't know how they could do that, but if they could get more RRG questions printed into the pamphlet. I know they did a little bit of that for Rise of Red Skull and for Ant-Man's pack, but you've got that like paper insert. If we could get some of like the frequently asked questions put into those, I think that would be really useful too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What other low points have there been? We've already talked about the scheduling. I think there was kind of like a big kerfuffle right at the beginning when the game released in some stores a week earlier and then in other stores. And there was a time where they said, you know, Green Goblin's going to come out in November, Captain America in December, something else in January. And then they sent out a tweet that said, oh, just kidding, they're all going to be January and then they'll be monthly. And they even had like another post that said, no, they're going to be February. So people were freaking out. And then they all dropped in December anyway. So it wasn't any of the predictions they had given. But they're getting the packs to us ultimately. So I think that that's fine. We're getting things when we get them. Not anything FFG controls, but, you know, like when packs get sold months early and leaked, I mean, it's exciting because we can see all the new cards, but it's also not exciting because then when the card actually comes out, I've been talking about it for 6 months already. So I've exhausted my brain on that card. So that's kind of a bummer. I think the way they do their distribution cycle, having the five villains in the campaign box, is really nice. I wish we saw something where we got villains more frequently, like having the drought from Wrecking Crew all the way to Red Skull with no new scenarios to play against was pretty brutal, in my opinion.
Even if you flipped, they probably won't do this, but flip the scenario box so that it's like two scenarios that are tied together and then more heroes. So then you could get a few more scenarios sprinkled out instead of heroes. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say that's probably not going to happen just because of the fact that they know they can get $15 per hero.
Yeah. One thing that they could do, and I would be okay with this, is the villain packs are a little bit more than the hero packs, right? I think they're $19.99 and the heroes are $14.99 or something.
That's U.S.
That's U.S.
Oh, yeah, Lester's not here. It's not Canadian.
Yeah, we don't have to translate for him today. If they increase the hero pack size from like 60 to like 70 and threw like a modular set into the back of each hero pack, right? You get your Nemesis cards, but imagine if the Captain America hero pack also came with like a Hydra modular, and if the Thor hero pack came with like an Asgard modular, like Loki or somebody else. I mean, that would be a big change. So I don't know if they would do that right away, but I would love that. That would be awesome.
a lot more testing too, right? Because you have to test that. It's not just a different, like a few cards. It is only a few cards, right? Five or six cards, eight cards maybe, but it's not just cards that go hero pack. It's like,
it wouldn't be trivial, but I think it would do a lot for like getting people to play the game. I know the local group that plays here, when there were no scenarios there and they were still getting new heroes, every time that group got together, they never wanted to play Marvel Champions because they were like, we've beaten all those guys 10 days over. I don't want to play the Wrecking Crew again, even if I'm playing as Black Widow or Hulk or whoever. I'm just going to wait for new stuff. So when a group doesn't play the game for 5 months because there's not something new for them to fight against, if you could give them something small, because like Shadows of the Past, yeah, you could get your Nemesis minion in who's different, but then you're counting on that player's Nemesis minion coming out, right? Which isn't very exciting.
Yep.
Just an idea. It probably won't happen, but I would love it. I'd be a big fan. They could do it as like print and play modules, right? We had that Kree Fanatic module that was print and play. If they released like a print and play module once a quarter or something to like, especially when there's those four hero packs in a row, that would really, I think, push people to play more during those hero stretches.
Okay.
What other areas you got? We won't talk about OP because OP doesn't exist right now. Although it does, I guess kits are going out, but organized play is a big area that could improve, but you know, pandemic, things happen. So
yeah, we can have an organized play at my house. If anyone wants to come here, we'll play.
There you go. Open invitation.
Yep. Hit me up.
Other things that have been misses for me.
I got mine off my chest.
You got yours off your chest. What was your first one again? I said my comment on your allies.
The typos.
The typos. Here's an idea. This is what I would love for them to do for the typos. And I've seen other game companies do this. You know how they have these organized play kits where they're giving us like comic book cover variants of like all the hero cards and stuff. Those are beautiful. Don't get me wrong. I think they look amazing. But what would be a really awesome OP kit is a reprint of the typoed card with the typo fixed. Like make it an alt art, make it whatever you want. Give us like a full art version of that scheme that has like the right modular set printed on it or whatever.
Or that spells rulebook correctly.
You want to know what's really embarrassing about the OP promos?
I saw the pictures.
The villains all say they have thwart instead of scheme.
Yeah.
So I would love it if the OP cards could be fixes for all the typos instead of having additional typos.
Oh, I have something. I have something that has bothered me since the very first, when I bought it.
I'll go for it.
Okay, so Justice's the thwarting aspect. aggression is the attack aspect, that type of thing, right? Protection is like the defense aspect. Why is Thwart blue and not yellow on hero cards? I think I have maybe said this on the podcast before, but like,
it's just gonna bother me now. Cards are on the table over there, and I really want to go get them and look at them because I realize that.
Like, attack is red, right? That makes sense. Aggression is red, defending green. But like, why is Thwart blue? It should be.
It's unviable now. I don't know.
It should have been yellow. I mean, recover is yellow. Recover could have been blue, just like fine. But I don't know.
I wonder if
maybe
the colors were different. That's like a really
aspect.
That's a probability on that.
Blue is also like control, right? If you think about these in
talking about magic, but like,
I mean, but a lot of people go to magic. I guess like in a lot of games, red orange is like burn, right? It's attack damage. A lot of magic creatures that are green are like big beefy defensive guys, right? And blue is like the control one, which is what Thwart is. So it kind of makes sense to me. And yellow is recovery, which is like white or life gain or whatever in magic. I don't play magic very much, so I might be making things up.
What you're saying, it makes sense to me. But I'm just saying in the context of the game with the aspects, they use the four colors for the aspects. And I don't think that Thwart matches. I think it should be yellow. But that's just something that has bothered me since I bought the core set. And now I'm happy to hear that it's going to bother you too, Kennedy. So that's great.
Thanks.
Misery loves company.
Indeed.
All right. What are we at now?
What other areas are there for improvement in the game? I think and this isn't even an improvement. It's like a continue thing. I think the more I think about the Red Skull box, I'm going back into good things again. I think all those villains showed something different that they haven't done before, right? One of the villains has multiple schemes that have really low thresholds, so you have to like really solve that puzzle. One of the villains punishes you for flipping to hero form and then punishes you for staying in hero form. So it's one that like we've often said, like the best way to get lots of wins in this game is stay in hero form as long as you can. But this guy doesn't want you to do that because bad things happen, but you're also punished for flipping. So he's like a different mechanic. That's Taskmaster, right? And he also he was the first guy that had like cards that come in the Taskmaster deck that go into your deck. So that's like a whole new mechanic. Zola showed us a different way to do Swarm than Green Goblin, which is awesome. And then Red Skull showed us how you can just split up the encounter deck, right? All those side schemes go in a separate deck. Like, that's a whole new world. They could do that with all sorts of things. They could put all the minions in deck and have that be like the Crime Lord pile or whatever they want to call it. So there's
clearly
lots of creativity that's going to happen.
Well, also, I mean, you didn't talk about Absorbing Man, but that showed how they could use the traits within a scenario. Like, we talk a lot about traits with the aspect cards and that type of stuff, but there's a whole lot of room that they can improve on and use the traits in a specific scenario.
A lot of unused traits too, like mercenary and things like that. So traits get used.
That's what I'm expecting. I'm hoping that they tie some of those in, right? Maybe I'm just impatient, but they've done pretty good with the Avenger trait. But like we have Asgard, right? With Thor's pack, like there's literally nothing that Asgard interacts with, but Loki's side scheme, and maybe I'm missing something, but.
For Asgard lets you search Asgard cards. Oh,
okay.
Out.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then, okay. Team building exercise or whatever is now.
That was a good card. That was a really good card to come, and it's basic. So I like that card. That team building exercise is good.
Goliath not having giant form. Just throw that card in the trash.
Oh yeah, trash. It's gonna go in the trash now.
It's completely disappointing. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I could see the argument that he's not always giant because you like use that action to make him giant, right? So. Maybe they're going for theme. I don't know.
Yeah, no, fair. Just give them the benefit of the doubt.
Let's move on to the next. I'm just going to combine the next two questions. So what do you expect to see going forward? And what are you most excited about in the future of Marvel Champions?
Oof. Okay. I just talked about different traits that they're gonna incorporate those traits and have synergies with the traits. I would hope so. I'm excited about that. And then
so you're talking about like new tribal stuff that's not just
I love tribal decks, and right now basically we have Avengers. And it's really only leadership and aggression that has it. There's one protection Avenger ally.
Two justice,
yeah. So aggression has a handful. Leadership has like every ally, almost. Not every, but it's kind of ridiculous, but that's all right. So I love tribal decks, and I'm excited. And I honestly expect it. We have a Guardians box coming out. I'm anticipating that we'll start getting some tribal Guardian stuff. Hot take right there. Put some money on it. And
real lukewarm.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that I am most excited about... I just had it and it's gone. Oh, team up cards. I think team up cards are like a cool new mechanic. I would love to see team up cards for older heroes. I don't think it's going to happen because they really want you to be able to buy like one product and play that hero, right? So I don't think we're going to get a Hawkeye Ant-Man team up card or like a Captain America Iron Man one, but maybe we will. That would be really cool.
So awesome though, because you have to have the core set to play, but some specific heroes like as part of the extra basic cards in the back.
Yeah.
Oh man, that would be so awesome.
Oh, we're getting into. I'm going back to question three again. Areas for improvement. One thing that I would love to see in this game is like an annual pack. So in comic books, right, you have like monthly issues. So it's really cool to see like monthly packs. But like there might be 12 issues of X-Men in a year, but there's also an X-Men annual, which is like a double-sized issue, and it comes out like in the same month as a regular issue, and it's usually like a standalone story. If they had annual issues that like recapped each year of the game, like imagine if they gave you a couple things to play with all the villains from that year, or if they gave you like a couple aspect cards that like fleshed out some of like the lesser used mechanics from the year, that could be like a really cool pack that they sell at the end of every year that like end caps the year. It says, look at all this cool stuff. And that's another thing that I kind of think is a little disappointing is twice now we've almost had a holiday season where we don't have a bunch of releases, and like these little standalone hero packs are like the perfect stocking stuffers for like the holiday season, right? Get all your nieces, nephews, and little kids, you know, addicted to this game so that it lasts forever. Just pop a Captain America pack, a Black Widow pack in their stocking, right? But we haven't had that because now we had Ant-Man's release and we don't have anything else till Wasp in either January or February. So we're going to be sitting with nothing new to buy people and throw into their holiday packages. So
I guess I'll just have to buy sleeves.
Yeah, sleeves for everyone. It's like
sleeves or go buy new tokens, I guess. More tokens.
There you go, tokens. But yeah, I'm most excited about team-up cards. I am excited to see the aspects continue to get like more little deck types and like focuses and tribal stuff like you mentioned. But I really think that team up cards and like new card types, like imagine having side schemes like in the hero deck. Like they did that in Star Wars LCG. You had these missions you could play, which were like the sideways cards that you had to attack in that game. They were called objectives when you had them in your deck and you would attack your opponent's objectives. But you could also play missions into your opponent's area. So Jessica Jones or somebody like that could have like investigation side schemes that she plays that way. Like Crimson was talking about that side scheme, like nukage thing, new card types, I think would be a really exciting thing for this game. That's what I would say.
That's what you're most excited. You would expect, or you're just like, that would be awesome.
I don't know if I expect it, but I would be excited by it. That okay. And it's same thing with team up cards. I think the next three pairs of heroes, right? Ant-Man and Wasp, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, Rocket and Groot are all heroes that naturally like come in pairs. We don't know what's after that, but not every hero we've seen released has like a natural like pair that I could see a team up card being with. But I would love to see a bunch of team up cards to encourage you to include different allies and things like that.
They can even do team ups with traits too. I mean, really.
Yeah, mercenary, shield.
What are you looking forward to or like excited about for the future of the game?
Oh,
we don't know the answer to that.
Can I say it again?
Human.
Wolverine. No, I'm looking for more I'm looking forward to more complexity heroes. Now that doesn't mean that I don't love my Hulks. You know, I play two different Hulks that are
you love the bottom of the barrel heroes. Is that what you're saying?
But I like some heroes that, you know, are going to make you really. I like heroes that require deck building. And I know deck building is not a big thing in this. It's usually, you know, grab your signature, smash in your staples from an aspect, and you're good to go. But I enjoy deck building to some extent. And, you know, like Black Widow feels like one of those where you can't just throw away in anything. You really want to stay on theme with her, and you really want to make sure that every card that you put in there has a spot and a synergy.
Okay.
Yep.
Which Marvel character do you feel like would be ideal for you to have to be a more complex? I mean, that's
Shadow Cat.
Okay. You had a quick answer to that.
Shadow Cat, Gambit. I mean,
there's a lot of heroes that you could be, but.
Yeah, Gambit would be a fun one too, just because of the card mechanic.
Okay.
I mean, would Gambit let me throw my cards at my opponent? That would be awesome. No, probably. That's not.
Yeah.
Just chop him in the head with a card.
Yeah.
So if you guys had to recap the year of Marvel Champions in one sentence and then give it a rating from 0 to 10, where do you think Marvel Champions made it in its first year?
Marvel
excellent.
Yeah, go for it.
Excellent solo viability with a good focus on fun. And I would rate it, you know, an 8 out of 10 in those categories.
That was a run-on sentence, wasn't it? I'm just kidding. You said it. An 8 out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
It still has room to grow.
What are we rating it? Like, overall? Fun?
Well, I rated it based off of, you know, the
personal preference.
Mm-hmm. Personal preference.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would say due to some unforeseen and some unfortunate mishaps. There were lulls, but that Fantasy Flight, I would say, caught up or redeemed themselves to fix some things. And I would say I would give it right now probably a 7 out of 10. But that's only, and it's not the fun. The fun is, for me, it's a 10 out of 10. But there are just some things that we talked about that knock it down, that I only anticipate it going up the more cards we get.
I can see that. I think it's a fun beat-em-up style game. I think it's casual, and it hits its target audience as intended. I think if you had asked me this when we were in the middle of the slew of hero packs waiting for Rise of Red Skull, my answer probably would have been like a 6 to 7 out of 10. But I think since Red Skull, Kang, and Ant-Man came out, I'm up here in the 8 to 8.5, maybe 9 out of 10 range right now. So
there you have it. 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9. Of Of course, the leadership player loves it, and the protection player thinks it sucks. It's not fun.
Hey, did you heard what I said? I didn't say that it wasn't fun. I said 10 out of 10 for fun.
Okay. That's true. You did say that. Well, that wraps it up. We've got one more episode where we're going to talk about all the different pre-constructed decks that exist in Marvel Champions. So that will be in 2 weeks. Until then, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Take care.
Have a good one.